Let's just stretch out our hands to the offering. Father, we just thank you for the joy of giving into your house. Thank you tonight that you come to bless each and every one of us. Those who have given, those who haven't given, Lord, you are not looking at the amount tonight, Lord. You're looking at the heart. And I want to thank you, Lord, for those who have given sacrificially tonight, those who have given out of abundance, Lord, those who have given in whichever way. God, I thank you that you bless your people tonight. Lord, as we faithfully continue to serve you and lay down our lives for you and lay down our finances, Lord, we declare tonight, Lord, that we do not worship money. We do not worship the God of this world, Lord. We worship Jesus Christ the King. And thank you tonight that you give us the opportunity again, Lord, in the short moment to realize how awesome you are. And Lord, how little this world has to offer, Lord. And I thank you that you're busy doing that in our lives, helping us to lay down anything, God, that wants to draw our attention or draw our worship or draw our effort or our time. Thank you that we can worship you with everything we do, God. And you want to bless us, God. I pray your blessing tonight, specifically financially on people here tonight. I want to thank you for those who are struggling and are trusting you, Lord, to just make it every month. I want to thank you that you say to them tonight, God owns everything. I own everything, says the Lord. And he wants to say to you tonight, he's your provider. Just keep trusting him. Keep trusting him tonight. I pray your strength over the people, Lord. That don't know where their next plate of food is coming from, doesn't know where their provision is coming from, Lord, but it comes from you ultimately. I want to thank you tonight that you bless your people, Lord, with abundance in every area, in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Thank you, band. It's wonderful to have you in the house of the Lord. We had an amazing time at Planted in Pretoria. We've just got back. In fact, these guys are just such a blessing. They woke up at 7 o'clock this morning. Not at 7 o'clock. They probably woke up much earlier. They had to be at the theater 7 this morning to practice. They ministered in the church service there at the Planted Conference. It was so blessed. It was awesome to have them there, to have all 16 of us, all those guys who went to Planted, just put up your hands and give a shout out again. And an excitement. I know you're tired. You guys didn't sleep much because you cared so much, but it was wonderful. Next year, guys, don't miss out. Put the date in your diaries now already. It's in March. This time next year, we're going to go to Planted again in Pretoria. Amen. So we're going to have more Bloom people. It was wonderful to have you all there with us. The rest of you, I trust you had a great weekend. It's wonderful to have so many visitors tonight. I see lots of new faces and welcome you to the house of the Lord. Just turn to someone next to you and tell that person that your life is going to change tonight. Are you ready for it? You know, talking about finances and being thankful to the Lord, it's amazing. My little son, Matthew, he's starting to pray now. Like when we have meals, we tell him he must pray, and then he now wants to pray. We're not allowed to pray. He wants to pray now. So he prays for the food, and then he says, thank you, Jesus, for this food to eat and everything. And then at night, we sort of pray with him before he goes to sleep. And he loves to say thank you. And it's just amazing. A child just is able to just be thankful because he says, thank you, Jesus, for this thing. And thank you for mommy and daddy and for Caitlin. And thank you for Oma and Opa and granny and grandpa. And he just starts thanking. And then eventually he runs out of things to thank the Lord for. But he doesn't continue. He doesn't stop being thankful because then he goes, like he'll say, thank you, Lord, for this thing and that thing. And then eventually he'll go, thank you, Lord. 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 And he's so thankful. And it was just amazing how a kid can just be so thankful for, you know, just being thankful. So I think some of us must learn from children sometimes. Have children of your own. It will change your life. It's just incredible, challenging, but also just wonderful, glorious having children. But tonight I want to speak to us. It's the last sermon in my series of Following Christ. If those of you remember, you've been here for a couple of weeks. We've been doing Following Christ. Number one was about the cost and laying down your life, and that there is a price to pay for following Christ, but it's the greatest price that you can pay. It's the greatest privilege, but there is a price to pay. The second, last week, we talked about following Christ in terms of the partnership, that we don't follow Christ in our own strength. We don't follow Christ, you know, trying to do it with ourselves and with our abilities and with what we've heard from the past or anything else. We follow Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, because Christ went away. Christ is not here anymore. but he's represented in the Holy Spirit. And we talked about having a partnership and having a very close relationship with the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. And so tonight I just want to finish off the series. And I've titled the sermon, The Ultimate Adventure. Because you know, following Christ is the greatest responsibility. Can I say that again tonight? Following Christ involves the greatest responsibility. But with it comes the greatest reward. Can anyone say amen to that? Following Christ is a privilege, obviously, but it's also a responsibility. And that's why I said tonight, you know, sometimes we must, you know, choose to just enter the presence of God. God, you know, we sometimes wait for Him to do everything. But the Lord says, follow me. Enter into my presence. Come to me. You still have to make a choice. And it's a privilege and a responsibility to do that, to follow Christ, to obey Him, and to walk with Him every day. But with it, with that responsibility comes the most incredible reward, the most incredible fulfillment in life. Those of you who went to Planted, you'll experience that. You'll agree with me. The band, you know, waking up early, stressing a little bit. It's your first time you're playing in front of a big crowd. But you know, the greatest adventure is just when Christ starts to take over and He just ministers through your life and through just your ministry of whatever you're doing. It doesn't matter whether you worship or whether you're a preacher or whether you're just a business person, but allowing Christ to minister through your life is the greatest privilege. And I want to just talk tonight a little bit about, I want to first of all ask you, what is the greatest adventure that you've ever been on in your life? Have you thought, or maybe there's some of you that still want to go on this round the world trip. You want to cruise around the world and just see all the nations. You don't know where you're going to get the money from, but this is kind of a long-term dream that you want to do. Or maybe some of you have been on a cruise ship, or you've been to overseas, you have just been here in this wonderful nation of ours, been on some adventure. Think about that. What did you experience in that adventure? Because, you know, if I look at my life, I can just say, you know, the adventure for me is just my life so far, since I've met Christ. It's been incredible. I mean, meeting my wife, that has been the most amazing adventure. And being married to this amazing woman, this incredibly complex woman, but you're an amazing woman. I mean, she's not here, so. But I mean, it's on record, okay? It's on record. She can listen. But, I mean, and same for me. I mean, I'm also a complex person. Guys tend to not be so complex, you know, but I mean, women are complex. But, you know, guys, we also have our stuff. All of us have our issues. But, you know, the adventure of marriage, the adventure of having children, the adventure of following Christ is just incredible. And, you know, I went overseas in 1994 when I was in Standard 9. I had the privilege of going on an athletics tour to America. And we went to Disney World. It was amazing. We went to one of the four, you know, Disney World there in Orlando has got these amazing big places that you can go to. And one of the places was where there was this thing called the Space Mountain. It's like a roller coaster ride, but you don't know, well, you can't see anything. You just see stars. It's in this huge building, and you just go on this roller coaster at night, or it's dark. And the only thing, I mean, that was incredible for me. I don't love roller coasters, but I thought, oh, this is going to be quite cool. I wonder what's going to happen in this. Because you can't see where you're going. You don't know. Maybe this thing's going to throw you off. The only thing I was actually worried about was one of the guys in the team that we were with. He doesn't like to fly. I once sat next to him in an aircraft and he had to use the packet because he got seasick. And it was a bit of a mess. And I thought, oh, this guy, he's sitting near me now on this roller coaster ride. And I wonder how he's going to handle it. So I'm thinking, where am I going to have stuff flying at me? Or it's not going to be so pleasant if he gets sick or whatever. So that was what I was worried about. But other than that, it was just an incredible ride. This adventure of just going into this space mountain and seeing stars, and you just don't know where you're going. You're up and down. You're having this incredible ride. It's just the most amazing thing. And that is what it's like in the kingdom of God. If you've been on an adventure, if you've been on a hike, you've been on something exhilarating, you'll know there's this feeling of, yes, this is just so awesome. This is just ultimate. This is what I've almost been living for. But you see, it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. It's the greatest adventure to follow Christ and to see Him work through your life. It's just awesome. And tonight I want to just have some pointers because, yeah, Jesus, in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, He said the following. He said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Yeah, Jesus saying to the people in the temple there that this scripture is fulfilled today. This is what I've been living for. I've been living to do this. This is my ministry and it's starting now. Because why? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So I want to have highlighted a few words in this scripture because I want us to realize what is this that Jesus is talking about. First of all, he says the Spirit has anointed me. We're going to look at the word anointed just now. Then he says to preach. It's a doing word. He has anointed me to do certain things. First of all, to preach. Well, how do you preach? You use your mouth. You speak. Then he has sent me. How do you go? With your feet. You walk. You go. To heal. How do you heal the brokenhearted? Well, you could do it in different ways. Speak, touch, whatever, just comfort. But heal, he says. And then he says, proclaim liberty. Recovery of sight. He says, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Once again, a doing word. You've got to go and you've got to do something. Maybe with your hands or however you kick doors open, but you've got to set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There was anointing upon Jesus to do certain things. Wouldn't you agree? And yeah, in Acts chapter 10, the writer sort of says, he almost sums that up as well. And he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. You see, the Holy Spirit comes upon us to anoint us to do certain things. Once you've got a relationship, a partnership with the Holy Spirit in following Christ, He brings an anointing upon your life. But as Jacobus said tonight, it's just amazing how the Spirit is just in agreement. It's not just to give you a good life. Jesus was anointed not just to have a nice life, to sit down and drink tea with a few disciples and have a good time for a few years here on earth. He was anointed to do specific things. And see, let's just look at the definition of anointed, first of all, when we're talking about this word anointed. It's a Greek word, krio, which means to smear or rub with oil. That is, by implication, to consecrate to an office or religious service. To consecrate to an office or religious service. It talks about a consecration. It talks about a setting apart. And the oil that we put on people and buildings and stuff, that's just symbolic of just setting this person apart for the service of God. That's why we anoint people, in case you wondered. It means, it's not just to give the person a nice rub down and let them look all shiny and weird with oil on their faces and everything. And someone asked in Bible school the other night, I won't expose them, but it was actually cool that they asked it. They said, now do we have to specifically use, olive oil, or can we use sunflower oil, or what type of oil? I said, look, we're really not going to get too technical, but I said to them, I think that maybe some SAE 20W50 motor oil probably won't do it. But, you know, or we can use oil. But imagine putting some gearbox or grease or motor oil on someone. I mean, that would look quite funny. But anyway, I thought that was quite weird. But anyway, because I said that. But it talks here about oil. Oil is an anointing, a setting apart for God's purposes, a setting apart for a religious office and a service. And so, yeah, Jesus wasn't anointed with oil. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit to do certain things. And I want to look at these four things tonight specifically. I want to look at the anointing that comes upon us when we believe and receive the Holy Spirit and receive the anointing. You know, all of us, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit is there, okay? The Holy Spirit is there. But there's a difference from getting saved and giving your life to the Lord with the Holy Spirit around you and drawing you to Jesus. There's a difference when you receive the fullness and the anointing of the Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit of God. It was different in my life. Some people receive it at the same time. But for me, I walked with Jesus for a while. I didn't walk with the anointing. I only walked with the anointing started to walk in the anointing 9 years after I gave my life to the Lord. But we don't have to wait long because the anointing is available to us if we want to go. As Isaiah, when he received the hot coal on his mouth, he said, I will go, because he received the anointing. He was willing to receive it. And so are you willing to receive the anointing tonight? Some of you received the anointing last week. The Holy Spirit baptized you. You just experienced a change in your life. But tonight I want to explain what happens when we receive this anointing of God on our lives. Because Jesus said, yeah, there are things that I did. When the Spirit came upon me, this is what I did. Now, first of all, I want to look at this thing of motives. Anointed motives. Because you see, Jesus in Acts chapter 10 verse 38, it says here very specifically, he was anointed with the Spirit, he went about doing good. And then it says healing all people and releasing people from the devil. But his motive was to go and do good. Do you see that? Acts 10:38. Let's just go two scriptures back. I just want to focus on that just that you'll see where I'm going. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. He didn't just go around healing people. His motive was to do good. In other words, he had a motive of love for people. He cared for people. He didn't just go and I'm the man of power for the hour and anoint people and save people. Yes, he did that, but it comes from this heart of love for people. He went about doing good. I just want you to look at that to understand my first point here tonight. So the first thing, I want to talk about four things. You'll see now where I'm going. The first thing is found in 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt but have not love, it profits me nothing. You see, he's talking about a charismatic movement. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, very charismatic church, and he says, I understand that you guys can speak with tongues, you can prophesy and proclaim and preach just like Jesus did when the Holy Spirit came upon him. You can do all these things with your mouth. You can, you as charismatic and as radical and you know, as you get. But I want to just make sure that you understand one thing, Corinthians. If you don't have love in your heart, if you don't have the right motive, then what are you doing? You're just making a noise. And same with us. We must realize that though we speak with tongues, and it's blessed to speak with tongues, do speak in tongues, please, of men and of angels. It's anointed to do it. And God shows us awesome things when we speak in tongues and we pray in tongues and we operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm talking about not only the thing of tongues, but just operating in the gifts. Because yeah, he says, if you have the gift of prophecy, another one of the amazing gifts, the nine gifts of the Spirit found in the chapter just before this. To give the nine gifts of the Spirit. And he's talking here about all these amazing gifts. If you operate in this, if you understand all mysteries and all knowledge, you have the word of wisdom in you, the word of knowledge, you have all faith, you've got the gift of faith that you can move mountains. You've got all this stuff, but if your motive is not right for why you've got this gift and how you're using it, then you're actually missing the point. And so I believe the Lord wants to remind us that the Spirit hasn't just come primarily to give us gifts that we can operate and we can change the world. He has given us primarily an anointing like he did to Jesus to do good. What does that mean? To have the motive of love wherever we go. So we must sometimes check as charismatics, how much do we love people out there, or do we just want to show, sure, we've got these amazing gifts, we've got the Spirit, we can operate, we can do cool things. How is our motives? What is our motives? And the Lord has been challenging me specifically on this thing. You know, being in the ministry, you can do lots of things, and it's awesome to be in the ministry, and I'm being fulfilled, and I love what I'm doing. But the Lord sometimes just comes to knock on my heart and say, you know, where's your love for the people, for the church, and for people out there? Where's your love? What is your motive of doing this? What is your motive for ministry? What is your motive for following Christ in the first place? What is your motive for operating in the anointing of the Spirit? But I want to say tonight that the Spirit has come to anoint our motives. And if we allow Him, He's going to change our heart's condition. He's going to change our hearts to be the right motive for right loving and right loving of people specifically out there. So I want to challenge you, what is your motive tonight? Even just for being in church, for following Christ, for operating in the fullness of the Spirit. Allow Him to anoint your motives tonight, because He wants you. First of all, before you preach, heal, proclaim anything, that is the first thing that He wants to check in your life. The Spirit has come upon us to anoint us with a heart of love for people. And then the second one is found here in James chapter 4. Because you see, it says again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel, to proclaim liberty, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus, and what did it start to do? It started to move His tongue in power. He said a lot of amazing things. He said to people, be healed, and they were healed. He spoke words into being, and people's lives were changed. He proclaimed the acceptable year. And so what does the Spirit want to do with our mouths? Even so, James writes, the tongue is a little member and it boasts great things. See how great the forest a little fire kindles. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Isn't it sad how the same tongue that we use to bless God, to worship God with, to prophesy and proclaim lots of things and to preach the gospel, isn't it the same tongue many times that curses other people, that says negative stuff, that complains often about our challenging situation and, oh, this person is irritating and, yo, we just complain all the time? You see, the Lord wants to change our tongues. He wants to anoint us with a tongue that will speak blessing only and not speak cursing, that will speak life and proclaim with power. Because I believe why we don't see things happen when we speak things into being, when we speak in faith and pray often, and and some of us need to learn how to proclaim and declare things. We struggle with our prayer life sometimes, especially in a corporate setting. We shy to proclaim. So we think it and we think it's going to happen, but the Bible says the Spirit came upon me to proclaim, to preach. We must speak with our mouths. But I believe many times why we're not speaking and not doing these things, or even we are, but there's no power, is because there's like a mixture in you. Our tongues are speaking a lot of other stuff as well. And in church, we're all good and we say the right things and we pray and we all, holier than thou kind of thing. And then out in the world, we'll complain, and the rest of the week, our tongues are just loose cannons. And it says here, the tongue is an unruly fire. The tongue cannot be tamed by man, but it can be tamed by the Holy Spirit if you allow Him. See, He wants to come and anoint our tongues, friends. I believe that. Why? So that we can start to proclaim and see things change. When we can speak into the Spirit and there's authority and there's power. And it's definitely by the Holy Spirit, but I believe the Holy Spirit wants to cleanse us as well as we do it. And yes, we're not going to be perfect. I'm not saying we've got to all be perfect now and, never say the wrong thing. We're going to say the wrong things every now and again. But I just believe the Lord wants us to surrender our tongues to Him for His purposes and for His glory. But surrender it to the power of the Spirit, that the Spirit can start to work through you. And clean you up first and clean me up first, but then also at the same time start to use us to proclaim power, to preach the gospel to other people out there, to proclaim liberty and speak liberty to the captives, to proclaim that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Because our prayer life many times is challenged by this, because we know how can we pray, and we sort of, in a way, right, because we're not supposed to be hypocrites. So, keep quiet rather if your tongue's a mess. But don't always keep quiet. Allow God to start to clean your tongue up and then start to speak. Start to speak words of life, but don't allow your tongue to, because it's dirty, don't allow it to stay dirty and just to stop speaking words of life anymore. But we have allowed, I believe, the devil to come and just use our tongues for his purposes and not for the purposes of God. And so what do? We be quiet. We just don't say anything because we feel so ashamed. Because we know this thing that James says, there seems to be blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth. But the Holy Spirit tonight, there's good news. It's not all, we're looking at our sin now, and yes, I'm guilty. That's fine. The Lord wants you just to realize that you do fall short, and you do need Him to come and clean up the mouth and clean up your tongue. And the Spirit wants to do it tonight. He wants to anoint our tongues. Then number three. Jesus said to us in Luke 4, He said, you must go to heal the brokenhearted. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has made me go. He has empowered me to walk. I can't, heal the brokenhearted if I'm just sitting here in one place and, maybe there are a few people around me, but I'm not going to the hospital or going to the people that are broken, going to my family, going to my cell group members, going to people. I must be there. I must move out of my... And some of us have got chains locked to our feet in the Spirit. We're not moving where God is moving with us. But the Spirit wants to do it tonight. Listen to this. How beautiful are the mountains, or upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, and who says to Zion, your God reigns. Isn't it amazing when we start to move with God's purposes, when we start to move with the gospel in us? And it talks here about proclaiming and preaching once again. But you can't preach unless you go to where there's a need. Or healing. You can't preach healing to people that don't need healing. You can't preach to the converted. You've got to preach and announce healing and deliverance and everything to those who need it. So I believe the Lord wants to anoint our feet here. It says how beautiful, how amazing upon the mountains. People going over the valleys and the hills, just going, moving with where God is moving, because there's a need out there. And our feet, I believe, are stuck in one place, and the Lord wants you to go on this adventure. You know, any adventure that you go on, you've got to organize it, you've got to go on it. It's like a mission trip. Missions are awesome adventures. We're going to go on some missions this year. But you know, it's not just about going on a mission and say, oh, I've done this, that's my little, you know, my anointed feet for the year, the rest I won't go. Everywhere you go, every day, you move into that classroom, you say to the Lord, Lord, where I move today is holy ground. Into my classroom, anoint my feet. Anoint the space that I'm moving into. And open doors for me, Lord. But I'm prepared to just take that step. I'm prepared to allow the Spirit to anoint my moving and my going. One of the amazing parts of the armor in Ephesians 6 talks about your feet. And in the Amplified Version in verse 15 of Ephesians 6, it says the following. Having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. So it says you must put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, but it talks about a readiness to go, a readiness to be prepared. In other words, when you go, you're also prepared. You don't just go random. You ask the Spirit, Lord, prepare me where I go. So some of us must pray these prayers tomorrow morning or even this week when before we wake up in the morning, before we go to the sport we're going to do or the class we're going to go or the workplace or before anything you do, just say, Lord, as I go, anoint just my feet, anoint the ground that I'm going to be on, that it can be consecrated and holy for you to move, Lord, as I move, because God so badly wants to move with us, friends. He is already with us, and where we go, we bring His anointing. But you know, sometimes we just so focused on what we want to do and what we want to achieve and the task list that we've got to be accomplished for the day. And we're in that survival mode, and the Lord just wants to get us out of it by anointing us with the Spirit. But specifically in terms of our feet, having shod your feet, prepare to face that enemy. And it talks there about not allowing the enemy to keep you down. And the devil say, oh, look, today you failed again. You try to do this anointing thing and look, you failed. No, no, no. Just keep going. Every day, start to practice it. Start to practice it. Until it becomes a habit that when you start the day with your feet anointed and where you go. So let's really practice this, that we can be firm-footed, that we can have the readiness that is produced by the good news in us. It's not something that we can do up ourselves or try to psych ourselves up to do. It's something that we simply say, Holy Spirit, do this in my life. But loosen my feet, anoint my feet to go and proclaim healing and proclaim deliverance and salvation. Anointed feet, anointed tongue, anointed motives. And then lastly, listen to this scripture, Acts 19. Because yeah, Jesus also tells us, He says, you must set at liberty those who are oppressed. You must do stuff with your hands. You must literally work. You can't just go there and then you just stand like a little stiff mummy like that and not know what to do. Your hands are free. Your hands are loose to work with your hands, to do something. You have been anointed with your hands. And listen to what happened in the life of Paul. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Listen to this. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons, Paul didn't even have to touch people. But God was working unusual miracles. Why? By the hands of Paul, by the workmanship of Paul. Paul went out and he did stuff. He planted churches. He healed the sick. Laid hands. He Paul's hands were anointed. And that's why unusual miracles. Don't we desire, do you guys desire stuff like this in church? Or don't you really want? If it's in Acts, I think, surely, you know, like the shadow of Peter moving past people just healed people. People didn't even have to come and touch Peter. They were so anointed. They did greater things than Jesus. people almost had to touch Jesus. Jesus said, you'll do greater things. So, yeah, Paul just put a piece of material on a person and the person got healed. Isn't that an incredible miracle? But why don't we see that today? Why don't we see our shadows passing people and they get healed? Because we're not surrendering the work of our hands or our mouths or all the other stuff I've mentioned. Yeah, we're not surrendering it to the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to anoint us to do great things, to do miracles. Anointed hands. So that even handkerchiefs that we touch and stuff that we touch will just transfer the power of God. And it's not weird, like spooky stuff this. It's just, this is the power of God. This is the power of God. I see it in the Scripture. Surely we should desire it today. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says the following. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Tell someone next to you, you have been created for good works. And guess what? God prepared those good works beforehand that you should walk in them. So have you asked the Lord, Lord, what are the good works for me this week? What are the good works for me tomorrow? What are the good works that I can do in someone's life tomorrow? So that the Gentiles will see that I'm a child of God. Not to Bible bash them or to tell them that they're condemned, that they're judged, and that they're not worth it, they're not going to make it. No, it says good works. Not judgmentalism. It just says, what are the good works? And it's just amazing, the other day, it was after a church service, after one morning service, I think it was when the Pretoria team were here. But I had to go into Pick and Pay quickly. I ran into Pick and Pay, and I just really had to buy something very quickly, and I was in a hurry, and then I went to the kiosk. I just felt I mustn't... I had a few things, so I went to the kiosk. I didn't go to the normal counters. But I just felt I had to go to this kiosk. And I'm standing there thinking, I just want to pay for this and get back to church because we're having a briar and everything. And then the Lord just tells me, just tell this lady behind the counter that... Just ask her, but just say, I just sense the Lord saying children to you. And I just asked her, I said, do you have children? And then she said, no. And then I'm thinking, oh, shucks, Lord, okay, I've missed it completely now. And then I said, but do you, would you desire to have children? And she said, yeah. And then I said, are you married? And then she said, no, I'm not married. And I'm thinking, okay, I've missed it completely. And then she just starts to cry and she says, you know what, I lost my baby a week ago. And I was like, God, okay, you want to speak to this lady. And then I just said, you know what, I just want to tell you, God is going to redeem that baby. God wants to give you children, He wants to bless you with children. And do you know the Lord? And she says, I know the Lord. I just said, no, God knows about your situation. And you can trust Him for breakthrough. And then I left, just brought that word to her. But you see, God wants us to walk in the power of the workmanship that we've been created for in Christ Jesus for. Just to give words to people, just to bless people, ask Him what are the good works that He's... Mike is my friend tonight. Just ask the Lord, what are the good works? And it could be with your hands. It could be with your feet. It could be with anything. And most of all, it will be with your mouth and with your smile. And how, you know, just one smile can change the person's life. But trust the Lord for words into people's lives. The workmanship, we have been created in Christ Jesus. We are His workmanship. He is so excited to anoint us. He's so excited to empower us to do good works. Because sometimes we think God will do everything, and He doesn't want to do everything. He wants to use you and me. He will do it through us, and it's His glory and His power. But He chooses to use broken and weird and stupid vessels like us, but He still wants to do it. Are you His workmanship? Do you believe tonight that you are His workmanship? Because then I believe we must surrender our hands to the Lord. We must surrender our feet to the Lord so we can go. We must surrender our tongues to the Lord so that we can start to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And start to move, but all of it must come down to that first thing, the motives. What is your motive to bless people? Is it just to say that cool, you were able to receive a word from the Lord and give it to this person? Or is it truly because you have compassion on this person and you love this person? What are your motives tonight? I want to end off with a couple of scriptures. Mark chapter 16, the end of Mark, where Jesus has walked into His ministry. He has fulfilled what He did in Luke chapter 4, where He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has anointed me to preach, to proclaim, to heal. He sent me. I went to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I proclaimed the name of the Lord's favor, or the year of the Lord's favor. And yeah, He says to the disciples, He's finished His ministry now. He's going up to heaven and he says to them at the end of Mark, he says, go into all the world and, first of all, preach the gospel. To every creature, he says. So even if you have to just preach to the stones then. Just start off, you know, Angus Buchan started to preach to the wheat fields and he made like as if they were people and he used to stand up there and made like all the heads of the wheat or the mealy heads there were like people and they were waving in the wind and he used to go preach there. Did you watch that movie? Did you guys see the movie Faith Like Potatoes? You know, so start with preaching at creatures, at stones, at, you know, empty pews if you have to. But just start by preaching that you can get used to preaching and telling people the good news of Christ. And then you can start to do it to actual people. When your heart is right. Maybe you must practice with your tongue and then you say, God changed my heart because I don't really love people. So I better preach to something that won't be offended first. But at least start to preach to every creature, it says. And then it says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. In other words, that's not your baby. Whether the person believes or not, it's not your baby. But they will be saved if they believe. And he who does not believe will be condemned. That's also not your baby. I will judge, says the Lord. But he says, you go and preach the gospel. And then he goes to the following and he says, and these signs will follow those who believe. So once you take that step to choose to preach and to go into all the world, that's talking about your feet there. Go. That's what I highlighted. Go, it's anointed feet. Preach anointed tongue. And don't just preach anything. Preach the good news. Some of us preach bad news. Okay? Preach the gospel, the good news. And then there's the promise here. Once you do this, what will happen? Signs will follow you. Say to someone next to you, signs will follow you. So you don't follow after the signs. Okay? It will follow those who really believe and those who are anointed and who believe in the power of my Spirit to change them. It says the following, in my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Once again, talking about speaking, casting out, speaking. They will take up serpents. Their hands are so anointed, they will take up serpents. And this doesn't mean now you must play with snakes, okay? That's not what the Bible's saying. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Do we see people getting healed every day when we lay hands on them? No, but at least start to pray for people. Whether they get healed or not, it's not your baby. It's Jesus. He will heal them. Okay, but start to lay hands on the sick and they will, that's what the Bible says, they will recover. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit wants to come upon us. Because why did Jesus tell the people this? Why did he tell his disciples to go? Because he understood the mandate that was on his life. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And so he said to them, go. And what did he say to them in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me. In Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. You will receive power and you will be my witness. How do we be witnesses for God? Well, it's simple. It's what I just said now. Your feet are anointed. Your motives are anointed. Your tongue is anointed. And your hands are anointed. The whole of you as a person is anointed to do the things that God has told you to do. And then we will start to move in the gifts. Then we'll start to move in the power of God. When we understand the fullness that the Spirit has come to bring on our lives. The anointing. Let's just look at that definition of anointing again. To consecrate an office, to consecrate to an office or religious service. To set apart. To anoint. To bring the fullness of God. That you can be consecrated for the work of the ministry that all of us have been called to do. You see, all of us are in the full-time ministry. Isn't that amazing? I heard it again this weekend. One of the guys at the, I think it was at the leadership seminar, he just talked about, you know, some people think, oh, you're anointed for, well, I don't know, maybe it was in one of the church services, but someone said, you know, full-time ministry, and then people think, oh, it's all the preachers and pastors. We're all in the full-time ministry. And you need to be anointed for the full-time ministry. I want to tell you that I need to be anointed for the ministry that I have to fulfill. You in your work, in your class, in whatever you've got, you need the anointing of the Spirit. Do you agree with me tonight? Otherwise, this life will not be an adventure. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be boring. It's not going to be fulfilling. You're going to look after other stuff. You're going to go to other things to find your fulfillment. Unless you experience the power of God, the anointing on your life. So I want to ask you, do you really want to go on this ultimate adventure? Do you want to go on the ultimate adventure of following Christ? Because I believe some of us are We're frustrated and we're tired and we're not operating in the power of the Spirit. And so this life isn't an adventure. This life isn't an excitement. And we're not seeing stuff happening and we mustn't run after the signs. But we must still say, Lord, why aren't there signs and wonders? Maybe we're not even going. It says signs and wonders will follow us who go. So Lord, maybe we're not going. So what is the problem? Our feet are stuck. They're not anointed. We're not consecrating our movements to the Lord and everything we do to the Lord. The work of our hands, we're doing all sorts of other weird things with our hands. And then we still want to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. But you know, our hands are doing double stuff. Our tongue is speaking cursing and blessing. Our motives are half love, but we also just so we hate certain people. We're racist, yeah, but then we want to bless the people that we're comfortable with. You know, but we don't have a love for the other people who are different to us. Whatever. There's always a double-mindedness. Wouldn't you agree in us? We have to be serious about it. But life will start becoming an ultimate adventure when we surrender all to Jesus Christ and to the power of the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, anoint me. Anoint my hands, anoint my feet, anoint just my thoughts and my motives, and anoint, Lord, my tongue especially. Because that controls everything. That determines my life. It's not what goes into a man that defiles him, says the Word. It's what comes out. We need the anointing of the Spirit on our tongue. I would like the band just to come up this evening. See, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to anoint us tonight, each and every one of us, with the power to really fulfill the calling of God in our lives. The greatest adventure in life is to follow Christ and to do the works that He did, and even greater things than He did. To see signs and wonders follow us, to see the gifts manifest in our lives, to see the power of the Spirit operating. God wants it for each and every one of us. But you know, do you desire it tonight? That's what I want to ask you. Do you desire the anointing tonight? It's not about just the gifts. It's the anointing, because it will start to change you from the inside. It will start to change your motives, your heart, your thoughts towards other people. It's only the anointing that's going to break the yoke, guys. We must be honest. We cannot change our thoughts and try to love people more. It's the anointing. And I said it at Bible school on Tuesday night. And I want to encourage you guys, if you want to come to Bible school, I'm going to be talking about the gifts, specifically teaching about just tonight what I've been saying, but more in detail, the gifts of the Spirit, and just talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But I want to say, I said it last week, that we need to allow the Spirit to do it in us. We mustn't focus on trying to bear more fruit. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, we talked about it last week, are all those nine things, or seven things, I think. Nine things, fruits. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, patience. We mustn't try to become more patient, or try to love people more. Try to, you know, do good works. Try to do more stuff. We must simply yield to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to do more in our lives. Allow Him to anoint us and to come and fill us and to empower us to do the good works that Jesus wanted us to do and wants us to do. But it said in Acts 10 verse 38, I just want to say again, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and He went about doing good. And then He healed and He did all sorts of other things, but His motive was to do good. And so I believe the Lord specifically wants to anoint our motives tonight, anoint our heart to really love people, to give us a new heart and a new mind towards people specifically. And then the rest will follow. We must surrender our hands and our feet and surrender everything to the Lord. But it starts, I believe, with our motives. So let's all stand this evening, because as the band just ministers quietly to us, I just really believe, while all eyes are closed right now, I just want you to be honest. I'm not going to call you forward, but I want you to raise your hand. I believe the Lord wants to anoint you with power tonight to do good works. But it's important that you ask Him specifically, Lord, anoint my motives, Lord. Change my motives. Give me a heart of love, that I can do good works out of love and not just to prove a point or to operate in the gifts or to say, I'm so cool, the power of the Spirit is upon me. But Lord, anoint my motives. I give you my heart. Change my heart. I give you my motives. And then some of us need to just say, Lord, yes, my tongue. Yeah, my feet, Lord. I feel bound. I struggle to go. I'm not excited to go into my classroom and to be a blessing there. I'm not excited to use the skills of my hands and work with my hands, lay hands on the sick. I'm not excited always, Lord, to speak. My tongue needs the anointing, because I'm speaking a lot of other stuff. And I'm filled with the Spirit tonight. I'm talking here to Spirit-filled believers. But I believe tonight, if you really want the fullness of the Spirit, you want God to anoint you afresh again, to empower you to do the work and to go on this great adventure, then the choice is up to you tonight. God wants to do it. But I believe you must just surrender by just even raising both your hands and saying, Lord, this is me tonight. I want to surrender to the fullness of your Spirit. So if that's you tonight, I believe there's an anointing, and I'm going to pray for you specifically from the pulpit, and I'm going to ask people next to you to pray for you. So if you really want the anointing, the fullness, and maybe it's specifically, maybe it's either for your motives or your hands or your feet or your tongue, but if it's maybe just everything, all of it, you just know you need the fullness of the Spirit, the anointing to come upon you to help you to live this life, this great adventure where you see signs and wonders following you, then tonight is your night. So just be honest, raise your hand there where you are, because I want to pray with you specifically. I want to ask the Lord to bless you with such an anointing that you will see the power manifest through your life. So just raise your hand there where you are. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to ask us to turn to one another and pray for one another very specifically as well. But Lord, I just want to thank you for every surrendered hand. Every hand that's going up, it represents just the fullness of what you want to do tonight, Lord, in every individual life. And I thank you that you're not just going to do it like a blanket thing tonight. You want to speak to every person individually about the anointing that you want to bring upon their lives, Lord. So just surrender to the Lord. Even speak to Him right now. Prepare your heart for what He wants to do. Just pray in the Spirit if you can pray in the Spirit. But just say, Lord, I surrender my hands, my feet, my tongue, my motives. Lord, they stink, but I surrender them to you. I don't do stuff, Lord, because I'm so scared. I've got fear. I'm so scared of what people are going to say. I'm going to be rejected when I want to just bring a word of encouragement. So I know I'm supposed to be an encourager. Someone here tonight, you're an encourager. You're supposed to speak life all the time and encourage people, and there's a spirit on your life that is holding you back. You've got fear in your life, specifically fear of man. And the Lord wants to release that thing over your life tonight. He wants to release the encouragement, the gift of encouragement that's in you. But you need to speak. So you need to release your tongue and say, Lord, anoint my tongue to speak life again. Thank you, Jesus, for every hand that you see. And I pray that you would come and baptize people with the fullness of your Spirit tonight. Anoint that same Spirit, Lord Jesus, that was upon you. I thank you that it's available to us today. You said you shall receive power to the disciples. And I pray right now for a download of your power, the power of your Spirit, that will help every one of us, Lord, including myself, to be witnesses. Not to do it or to try to do it or to hope to do it, but to be witnesses to Bloemfontein, to be witnesses to the campus, to be witnesses in our workplaces, Lord. That you would anoint every person here with the ability to go, the ability to do, the ability to lay hands on, to set captives free. Not to wait for a Liberty seminar or a church service or a Bible school, Lord, but to do it there in the workplace, to lay hands on the sick and to see them being healed. To go into the hospital, the medical people, God, I thank you that they won't fear, Lord, what the academics say. But I thank you that you want to anoint someone's hands here tonight to especially lay hands on sick people and to see people getting healed and to have testimonies, Lord, in this church that you are real tonight. And I thank you for every hand that surrendered. I thank you for every foot that is prepared to loose the chains and to go. For every tongue, Lord, that is prepared to lay down cursing and negative speaking and complaining in Jesus' name. Lord, for every motive, for every heart here that doesn't love people, that's very task focused, very focused on just achieving stuff, but there's no relationship. And I pray, God, that you would bring people to a heart of love for others, starting with the household of faith, starting with us here in this church, that we'd love one another, Lord. But it's an anointed love. It's by your Spirit. It's not conditional love. It's unconditional Holy Spirit love. Otherwise, Lord, we're just making a noise. We're just a clanging cymbal. We're just trying to do something, Lord, and it's not by your Spirit. And I thank you tonight that it will be by your Spirit from now on in this week.